Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for making us part of your afternoon. Danny Parkins is on vacation this week. Terry Bors is back with me. I'm Dan McNeil. We're on the air from 1 until 6 today and again tomorrow. That's our last chance at this for a little while. Tomorrow, now go have another beer. Who said that? Tom Treblehorn, I believe.
I think it was Tom Treblehorn. Another one of the great ones.
Are you having fun?
Am I?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. At this stage of my life, I don't
what
care.
I
don't know who you're talking to. I don't know what it is you're saying. Yeah, I'm fine.
Terry zoned out 3 hours ago.
Yeah, well, about. No, I'm just thinking that I want to add quickly because I'm looking at you. I misspoke yesterday. That's what I did. I just misspoke. I don't know anything. I just misspoke. I'm sorry. I apologize to Congress.
Uh-huh.
And the CIA. And the DEA.
This hour of the show is brought to you by Lexus of Arlington. When searching for a new Lexus, search for LexusofArlington.com. My intention tomorrow when we do our final chunks of Old Home Week is to invite some of our star callers. I referenced them as star callers yesterday because that's what they were. They became a part of this radio station's DNA back in the 90s. And, you know, with progress comes some consequence, and because of technology, we don't hear from as many of you as we used to. People would just as soon send a text message or get to you on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, send a text to the show. We've lost that with our audience. We want to invite some of those callers back on tomorrow's show in particular, and we're lucky enough we didn't even have to wait for it until tomorrow. Because we got one of them now who wants to jump in. So let's do it. This is a guy who, his average length of telephone call on the score is longer than any. He gets more rope than any caller in the history of this radio station.
Goodness.
He is Stan from Bellwood. Hi, Stan.
Danny Mac, where you been?
Hey.
Where you been? Well, that's a good question. Where has he been? How are you, Stan?
Oh, my God. I'm doing just fine. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well.
Terrific.
We're doing well. You know, I zoned out, 3 hours ago?
He does sound good, doesn't he, Stan?
Yeah.
I do?
That's the main reason that that I called. That you guys sound great. I've been listening most of the afternoon, bringing back so many memories. I actually feel 25 years younger.
If only for a few hours, at
that's
least.
That's right.
Until you start to move. It's like me.
The Murph talk and the Murph memories from a couple of hours ago got me thinking. I'm really stunned that you didn't bring up one particular item. One of the things from the old days that I remember most about the score calling in back in the old days was the jargon that was unique to the station.
Mm-hmm.
And Murph never failed to crack me up when he'd get deep into some deal that he was talking about, and he'd say something with sexual innuendo, and right away would throw out a whole Bors ain't listening.
Yeah,
that was always my favorite one.
Oh, Bors isn't listening.
Well, don't worry. You needn't have worried, my friend. Don't worry about it. That was not happening. Anything I found out, Stan, I found out through
I
know others over the years. I didn't know a damn thing. That's the beauty of it. I didn't
and
know.
And you get blamed for it all.
Hey, Terry, you. I really enjoyed the book. It was terrific. I can't wait. I'll catch you someplace, something you're doing. You know, somewhere down the road, and maybe you can sign.
I hope so. Yeah, no problem. Absolutely.
I did want to say, though, you sound great. I feel so good about that. The last time we talked to you were on your last days with the station, and I didn't know what to think. You scared the bejesus out of me. But you really sound great, and you sound happy and content. I'm glad you got out on your terms, and, you know, things are going so good. And I just wanted to call up and give you a yell because I don't know what I was going to say.
Well, you know, I love you, man. And Stan is one of my correspondents. I mean, I answered probably between 650 and 700 emails. There was more than that. I just didn't have the energy to answer them all. So I answered with my email address.
Too. You're killing me with some of your stuff on Twitter.
Yeah.
At Real Terry Bors, if you want to follow the dinosaur on Twitter. I can only say that to one guy around here, Terry. I'm older than everybody else now, Stan. I used to be the baby on the air staff. Now I'm the T-Rex.
Oh, boy.
That's why I'm not on staff. Too damn old and bad.
Terry, I just wanted to remind you and throw this out there. I started calling the score originally on the Saturday morning shows that you used to do, the Young Sports Writers.
The Young Sports Writers,
That was appointment radio, and it reminded me when you guys were talking to Judd Surratt a little while ago. He actually, the first time that I ever talked to Judd, and he and I had some terrific conversations on hold when I was waiting for you guys to pick me up on the show. But the first time that I ever talked to him, Johnny Suntress, I think, was the Shaky Suntress was producing you and Hanley on the weekends, and out of the blue, when I was waiting to talk to you guys, Jeff Surratt picked up the phone and said, "Hey, you know, why don't you ever call during the week? So, you know, I think Danny would really like, you know, talking to you. And you and Terry, you know, seem to have a good thing going. Call more often, so we could hear." So I started calling you, during the week, the Heavy Fuel crew. I basically threw in with Bors and McNeil and Bors and Hanley, because I really wasn't a good fit on the other shows on the score. But Terry, you were, you know, you loved baseball like I did, and you were a broken down horse player like I was, and you felt the same way about Ditka as I did. So this is my guy. I
That's
start
your guy.
Calling him all the time.
That's right.
Well, yeah, Ditka and I are old buddies. It's like old buddies week when I come back and do this, Stan. Great to hear from you, my friend.
Stan, good to hear from you. Yeah. Thank you for checking in.
Yeah, Ditka and I, another thing there.
I wouldn't have remembered that unless Stan said it. But yeah, he was a kindred spirits of yours in disgust over Mike Ditka, the coach. Who you at least acknowledge in A Score of a Lifetime was incredibly instrumental in helping launch this radio station.
No question about it.
It was accidental. The station signed him to do a weekly show on Tuesdays, and amidst his awful 5-11 final year, he wrote off other Chicago media.
Yes, he did.
He wouldn't talk to anybody other than after the game. So if TV stations wanted a soundbite, they had to go camp out at that little goofy restaurant on Bryn Mawr.
I remember.
I don't know if that was in the city or if it technically was Rosemont. I don't remember. It doesn't matter, but that's where people would go because Ditka was only talking to us.
Well, people always think, you know, the roughest time is on the air. Look, the roughest time wasn't on the air with him. Is when we were off there. We were in commercial break, and he would get up and move somewhere, and I would get up and move to the other part of the room because we did a lot of remotes. That's what, you know, he was the dude, and that's where a lot of that stemmed from. I mean, he didn't hold back his disdain for me, and that's fine. I'm glad he didn't. Gave me endless material. I mean,
he gave us one of the signature statements, might be the signature segment gimmick of this radio station ever.
Yeah, I agree. So I don't know.
We wanted to kill it after year five.
And look how long it lasted after that. It was on last legs, and it was on fumes, and then it was good, and then it was awful, and then it was, oh my God, what are we doing? I mean, that was the most uncomfortable time because you didn't know what to do. He just got up to his head and walked away every time we went in break, every time.
Yeah, I don't remember. And, we alternated. Dan would do a Ditka show. Cher would do a Ditka. You would do one.
I would do one.
Mike would do one. I don't remember ever being uncomfortable. I happened to be. It was very fortunate for me that I was there on a couple of his most explosive days. I was there when he wrote off Obradovich. I'm pretty sure I was hosting the day Neil from Northlake called.
Instead of getting mad at the way his team played, why did, during the press conference, why did it appear that Mike was holding back, trying not to cry like the baby that he is?
Well, Neil, I tell you what you are, I can't say on the air. But I tell you what, I'm 53 years old.
Old.
And I my office is at 250 North Washington. Anytime you want to meet me there, you call me back on the air. You tell me what time and when, and I'll whip your ass.
I'll whip your ass became a colloquialism as well.
Well, at least he never said that to me. I actually.
Who you crapping?
Yeah, that he did. That he did. And it was so much the character of our relationship. And I don't even categorize it. Probably wouldn't even, that's probably not even the right thing to say, a relationship. But you're the one who caught on it first. I mean, he said so much stuff to me over the years. I just, you know, I didn't hear that. What was that? I mean, I didn't even pretend like I heard him. You know, I would just let him go and then ask him a kid's question, not looking at him. But you picked up on it right away. You picked on him faster than I did when he said it. Because to me, it was just another one. Just add to the
tally. Oh, my eyes, yes. I was driving, making that drive down the Kennedy.
And loving it, right? Me suffering.
I'm fist pumping myself. Yes, we have a new segment. Somebody lied to you lately. It's time for you to expose them to God and everybody. Not something they did, something they said.
Many years later, we ran into Neil, who was what, like 5'8", 150 pounds or whatever?
I don't remember ever meeting Neil.
Yeah, I met him. Well, we met him. Maybe it was Bernsey and I, but we met him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like 5'8", 150 pounds.
Well, I think the coach would have whipped his ass.
Oh, I sure he would have.
At 250 North Washington.
After a while, even though, look, during the time it's difficult, but after, you know, I recognize, I try not to take away from what somebody accomplished just because I don't like them. I mean, I try to be fair about it, and there's no question about it. When he had that press blackout, he wouldn't talk to anybody. They waited for us. They waited for our dumbasses to give him something.
I know.
Think about that.
It was very fortunate. I put the radio station on the map. I can't keep a smile off my face. Stan from Bellwood mentioned Shaky Suntress, and he's going to pop by tomorrow to say hello for a little bit. 815 texter. Shaky is a penis. Shaky is a penis. Hey!
And no, some things never get old.
Nobody here has been drinking. A lot of people were texting us before the 5 o'clock break saying, are you guys drunk? All of you? No, we can be sober and talk about our favorite lakes in the state of Minnesota.
That's all it was, yeah.
We don't need to be drunk to have, you know, act like 12-year-olds.
They were in the Google machine. We just were reacting to the news that Nick gave us. I mean, that's all. Shep's got it. That's all we did. And to be honest with you, did you know that they existed, those lakes?
Yes.
Well, see, why did you tell me before you got the Google machine?
I just want to know the lumberman that it was named for.
Scipio Spinks.
And it could have been all ours.
Tell the story.
Scipio Spinks.
He was a relief pitcher? Do I remember him correctly?
No, he's an infielder.
Oh, he's an infielder.
And my old buddy Dave Dorr, great guy, worked for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and he covered Illinois, so we became, you know, friends for a long time.
Danny's got his finger on the button waiting.
And now this is his story because he
occasionally. Oh, I thought you saw it.
No, I didn't see it. Do I want to? He was covering the Cardinals, and there was more than him that saw it. I think the whole locker room full of saw it because Scipio was. I don't know if he was difficult or what kind of guy he was because that's a long time ago. Scipio Spinks comes out of the shower. He's got a hot dog bun, one of the. The foot-long hot dog buns.
Right, not your typical hot dog.
No,
any wiener.
No, no. It was the giant hot dog bun.
It was the Milton Berle version,
Milton Berle version of the hot dog bun. And he came out and waved it, both hands, and was taking it around the locker room, offering it to everybody. Are you interested in this?
I remember it having condiments on it. Did he?
Yeah.
He mustard it up?
He had mustard on the edges, yeah. Where the hell he got?
That's awesome.
That's one of my favorite stories of all time. And I said to Dave, "Well, did you take him up on the offer? What, have a little mustard?"
Yeah.
But he was a great guy, and I heard the story more than once from St. Louis people, the ones I spoke to, because most of them I try to avoid. But
maybe I just I remember that you.
No, I never said I saw it.
I would have wanted you to have seen that. I would have. Yes, any of my friends who have that story, I wish they could have seen it rather than just translate the story.
That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, you get a radio picture of that one.
Well, and Daryl Strawberry dunked his in a milkshake once, didn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah.
But there was no
and reached bottom.
I can report this. I also know this. There was no space left in that bun. No space. Just the room for a little mustard.
Now, what's the rule on a man dog? Can you put mustard on it? Can you put ketchup on it? I mean,
I don't know. I'm not answering
Bush
that.
Bush Stadium has a new concession item this year. It's called the footlong man dog.
Here's the Sphinx.
The Scipio Sphinx model.
How's that for Junior? What? Whoa. Those were the days. See, you could get away with that stuff back then. You know, I don't know if athletes today are still that crazy. I don't think so. But I mean, that's an old time.
Maybe with themselves. Maybe not around us.
Not running around in front of the media with a hot dog.
You know what? Anybody who can fill a jump up on like that deserves to walk around with condiments on it.
Well, that's what I told them.
I say that guy's got a license.
I think that's true.
People have asked me before. Former Bears trainer Fred Cato used to walk around the Bears locker room.
I don't think he owned a pair of pants.
He didn't wear pants. And you know what? If I were Fred Cato, I never would have bought pants either.
One of the things that sticks. I don't know why, but that's one of the things around the Bears that Fred Cato was never dressed. Never had anything on. It's like a baseball manager. He never. Although the baseball managers, they just did it to disarm you, to throw you off, you know, back in the day. Because now they bring them to you. They're full of uniform before the game, after the game. Yeah. Back then, no. No.
Texter says Dan isn't usually right, but he is. Scipio Spinks was a pitcher.
Okay. He's an infielder.
Are you thinking of Julian Javier?
Oh, I'm thinking of a lot.
I love how that's the part of the story that we're disputing.
Yeah, there's no disputing the rest of it. I'll tell you that.
That's all the question.
Dave was not a guy who, you know, liked to exaggerate or give you stuff that was, you know what I mean? He wasn't that guy. And I even asked another guy from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch if he was aware of it. He said, well, we're all aware of it. We're all aware of it. Okay.
We're going to take a timeout. Lawrence is going to be with us in about 20, 25 minutes or so. He's on tonight between 6 and 10. And we're going to talk a little music in a few minutes as well. And we'll get your phone calls on the air. Those of you holding Frank Downers, Tim, and Highland Park, hang tight. It's McNeil and Boers on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I missed my post. I'm going to throw Murphy's coat. Kick over the table. I had a conversation with some of my friends at the FM station when I had my little run over on the drive. As you remember, probably, it was not an easy decision for me to make, and I talked about it. We didn't know each other when I was in my early 20s, but I waffled for some
time. Best time of my life.
On whether I wanted to go sports or music, because rock and music meant a lot to me, as much as sports did. And I wrestled with it. And when I had the chance to do it in 2015, I jumped at it. It turns out to be the wrong move.
Broke both legs, but you're fine now.
Yeah, I see, right. But we were talking. Bob Stroud is a guy whose rock and roll mind I love and respect. And he's been doing middays there for a long time. And I was thinking, and I was just thinking out loud, and I'm saying, you know, as I think about the music I love the most and the concerts I most would have liked seeing at particular times, what would have been the perfect year in which to be born based on my musical tastes? And I looked at all the things the bands were doing, and I came up with 1950. 1950 would have been the best year for me. I was 11 years late. You were born in 1950.
Yes, I was.
Son of a bitch.
Yep, that's exactly
you
right.
You saw all the crap that I didn't get to see. Did you go to Woodstock?
No. I did see the Doors, though.
Oh. How were they?
Great.
Because they were hit or miss. Great. They were not always great
because he was
on stage.
Yeah, I know. They were good in Chicago, and then he went to Miami and exposed himself. Hey, how you doing?
Yes, he
Scipio
did.
Spinks. Hey,
he did a Scipio Spinks. Well, rumor has it.
Well, he's arrested.
Yeah, he was arrested.
But he denies it.
He never.
He was sober.
He died before that thing went to trial.
Yeah, but he denied it. I mean, I don't know that's true or not, but they were.
Where'd they play in Chicago, Terry?
The old Coliseum.
Where people came to see him.
When people
that's
came to see him. That's exactly right. I as I recall, that's right. I mean, it's been so damn long, but I didn't do many of them, but to me, that was a had to see, the Doors. I mean, there was something about him. And unfortunately, he's one of those that died when he was 27, I want to say, right?
Yes,
I
wanted, he's part of the 27 Club.
27 Club.
July 3rd, 1971.
In Paris.
Yes.
And, you know, if you knew enough about him, you knew he was headed down that road anyway. I didn't quite that out then. But what becomes apparent with so many of them is that road isn't going to end well. You know what I mean? There's just so much going on in his life. And so remarkably talented, but the reason they didn't is because of that. Because you couldn't count on him.
Yeah,
you never knew he was going to show up in. Is he going to be sober? Is he going to be high? Is he going to be low?
Happy,
what's he
going to
be? Happy,
angry,
sad, angry? Yeah. What's he going to do?
He was a very haunted guy. James Douglas Morrison is an incredible study. A fascinating dude, and that's always been one of your favorite bands, The Doors. I've always enjoyed the music of The Doors. It was the movie produced or directed and produced too by Oliver Stone that got me even more on board, and that was long after they were finished. And that was based on a book written by two cats, one of them locally, and I have picked one up for your birthday present. I know your birthday is not until September, but
yeah,
I got you
not.
A book. We used to make fun of Phil Jackson, so I got you a book.
Oh, outstanding. Thank you.
That's the best biography I think I've ever read about a rock band, and I've read a lot of them. That's what I do. When I go on holiday, I fish, and I read about people who have lived very sordid lives.
Well, thank you. That's very nice. I will read this, absolutely.
That's a good one. It's going to take you more than the book of lists. It'll take you a lot longer.
Well, yeah.
Score of a lifetime. It'll take you longer to get through that.
Well, yeah. This is like a – well, he's a little more interesting than I am, about 750 pages more interesting than I am.
Yeah, and it's small print, too. I think that's like four-point type, too. So it's going to take –
boy, you ain't kidding.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
that's a marathon. It is. Very readable, but if you're interested, I don't know if you read about music regularly, but that's one of my favorite things. And I've read a lot of rock bios, and there is nothing more vivid than that one.
Look, if I had it to do all over again, and I don't have an iota of talent in any way, shape, or form, and people say, what would you do? It wouldn't have been sports. Sports when I was a kid wasn't a fascination like it's with kids today. It isn't that. I wasn't dreaming of this or that or the other stuff. But over the years, I've learned more and more, and even though I have absolutely zero ability, that if there's one thing you say, I wish I could have entertained, I wish I could have sung, I wish I could have played something, I do. That's the one thing that I'd say, if you could change anything, you could say, okay, we're not going to give you this particular skill that you have, what minor skills you actually possess.
So if you could be a rock star, what would you want to do? What would you want to play? You want to sing? You want to play acts? You want to slap the bass?
Sing.
You'd want to sing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd want to be the drummer. The drummer is invariably the coolest guy in the band. The drummer presides over things. Danny Parkins, I could see him drumming because he's running the show. He's the engine. He's keeping it moving.
The legend that could.
Yeah, I would love to be. I think the drummer is just the drummer sets the tone, and he also sits higher, presiding over. That would be cool to be.
I've actually thought in the recent last couple of years or so about doing drumming lessons. I've actually thought about it.
Left a fantasy.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I'm old and achy and bad, so I mean that probably would be too much strain for me anyway. But yeah, I. If there's something you'd say, because you didn't realize at the time how much you loved it, just the whole thing about, not the death thing, that's okay, I can pass on, I'll take a pass on that, and Jimi Hendrix and all the other stuff that seemed to happen to people who were in that business, but I that's something I would love to do it, still love to do it.
I tried it 11 years ago. I bought a basic kit, a Ludwig kit,
because
if it was good enough for John Henry Bonham, it was good enough
for
me.
You, yeah, and?
Not happening. You to do different things with both feet while doing different things with both hands, counting to four with one foot.
Back to Scipio Spinks.
Counting just, every fourth beat on the right foot. You have to have a mind that is capable of doing
much. That's the thing.
It's really a unique
I don't have
skill.
It. Yeah, I don't have it, and I look at people who do, and that's something that I would say, God, I wish I could have done that. People say, what would you soon have done? That. I wish I'd have had that instead of the tin ear and the steel head. That I wish I would have been able to do that. I really do.
The name of the book is Break On Through, texters. It's 700 plus pages of darkness on the Doors, and describes in detail. That was the book that Stone used for the movie. That was the motivation behind the movie, the reference that he used. Mm-hmm. But yeah, any year I could be born in for my musical taste, 1950, the year Terry Bores arrived. What a great day that was. But I mean,
it was.
I would have seen all the stuff that I didn't, you know, I contend I was born too late. Yes, I saw the Stones before they were really old and bad. And I'll still go see them as old and bad. Yes, we did. Another great Ron Gleason move. Give us tickets to take listeners to a Stones concert on a Monday night when the Bears have a game against the Eagles.
Yeah, it's a Bears game.
Good move, Ron. Nicely played. I would have seen the Doors. I would have probably been knucklehead enough to hitchhike to New York to go see Woodstock if I didn't drive myself. I would have been almost 19. Woodstock was August of 69, wasn't
it?
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I would have seen the Stones, Air Prime
music. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. Those were the years. I mean, those are the perfect years.
Yeah, I think that you know, overall, I mean, on balance, and there's certainly a lot of things wrong with every generation of people, but I'm pretty satisfied with my generation of people. Pretty satisfied to be part of it, even though there are more of us than there ever were. I mean, but I'm pretty satisfied with it. You know, I mean, there's times when you would go, oh, my God, well, if I only been born then, I would have loved this. Well, I was there for every minute of this when the Beatles ruled the world and all the other stuff that happened. You know, I mean, that you can't replace that. There's no way you can replace it. And you can read about it and do whatever you want. You can't live it until you actually do, until you start to fall in love with music. You start to realize that, oh, my God, I love this. I cannot get enough. And it come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Not particularly, obviously not musical, no musical family, no musical background, but loving it. Just loving it. All of a sudden, like you're 12 years old, oh my God, what is this?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think there's a, and that was the time to do it. I think when I mentioned before that Ty, my oldest grandson, loves 60s music.
Mm-hmm.
And it, because, you know, if you're thinking, yeah, it's because, no. I mean, yes, when I get in the car, when he gets in the car, well, I do have it on at times, but not enough to create what this is, this monster that's been created with this.
Right.
I mean, he's got favorite song stuff that I it's like he's got the brain of then. He's got he knows exactly what he likes, what was good, what was going on. So I think there's a something to it that, and I did the best I could to see what I could. I had no money, but the Doors were a must. The Doors were a must. We even had a trip planned to go see the Beatles in San Francisco.
You had to move quickly if you wanted to see the Beatles. They toured for only 30 months during their 9 years together.
Well, they were all tired. And, you know, you could see why. When you think about it now in retrospect, there's nothing like that. I mean, even the craziness that goes on and stuff, not like that. There's no point to riding around an armored vehicle all your life and all the other stuff that went with it. And George was hinky about it. He was tired of it. And I know that Lennon and McCartney felt like we're not really getting anything done. We got our name out there. We got everything out there. But we're not really getting anything done musically. Not that we feel we can do. So, I mean, they never toured again. That was it.
That's one of several things that separates the Rolling Stones from the Beatles.
Oh,
the
my
Stones
God.
Have been touring and entertaining audiences for 50 years.
Yes, yeah. And you wonder how they're not dead. I mean, it's one of the great mysteries of mankind.
After my first Stone show, I said that to my buddies on the train home from Soldier Field, summer of 78. Thank God we caught Keith Richards while he's still with us. Well,
yeah,
guess what? Now we're wondering what kind of world we're going to leave behind for Keith Richards. Let's bring in Tim in Highland Park on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Hello, Tim.
Dan McNeil got a copper pot, see?
I once had a copper pot for a Webb Ford commercial. Yes, Tim.
Oh, great.
And a brilliant piece of work on my dad.
It was good, yeah.
20 years, guys, of listening to the station, and it sounds just like it was back in the day with you two. I just wanted to shout out and say, Terry, there's still three things that I live for every single day. Number one is introducing myself as Edward Dickman to people who don't know me.
That's a good thing
number
to
two,
do.
Calling,
I still use it.
Number two, calling random morons Deutschbanks.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And of course, number three, explaining bycracking. So thanks again, guys. Wonderful 15 hours this week.
All right, then.
Thanks,
thank you,
Tim,
so much, my friend.
We appreciate that. Yeah, we're going to have a little in-studio party tomorrow with some listeners. Do we have any more tickets to give away? I feel like we should give away some more tickets. Let's do that. If you want to come tomorrow to our show down the hall at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio, be the 10th caller right now. That contest number is 591-6700 with a 312 hook. I haven't used that in a while.
Well, I like that. There's a
hook. Yeah, with a 312 hook. That's Mackey's if there ever were. I promise Frank in Downers Grove a shot. Frank, be quick, please, sir.
Hello, boys. It's Tribeca Frank from the past. How you guys doing?
Oh, Tribeca Frank. I celebrated Kerry Wood's 20 strikeout game at Frank's place at a social that night.
The Tribeca trifecta.
There you have it.
That was the best. You guys helped my business enormously, and I just wanted to thank you. And you guys are back on the air. I've seen Dan a couple times since then, but have not ran into you, Terry. So I just wanted to say you guys sound great, and I want to thank you for, you know, all you did for my business back then. And you guys were great, and you still are. You sound like you're 20 over there, Terry.
Yeah, I wish. Frank, I appreciate it. And I'm glad that we did well for you because most of them we put out of business.
Yeah, we put some places out of business.
And I have no idea why, but great to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. We appreciate the telephone call. We'll check in with Lawrence Holmes in just a couple of minutes at Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Lawrence is indeed on the air tonight, 6 until 10. We'll transition with him momentarily. This final segment of today's Heavy Fuel Crew show is brought to you by Dell. Dell small business technology advisors know there's nothing small about your business. They provide one-on-one partnership and reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL. Tomorrow on the show, among our guests, former Bears head coach Dave Wannstedt. We also will visit with Dan Patrick and Bulls head coach Fred Hoiberg. That's among our treats tomorrow.
My second chance to talk to another Bulls coach named Fred. You know who the first one was, the only one?
I don't remember another Bulls coach named Fred. You're going to say it, and I'm going to kick myself for not remembering it.
Fred Carter. Didn't say he was a head coach.
Oh.
Kevin's,
that's cheap. That's cheap.
Oh, my God.
Hung out with him in Salt Lake City, didn't we?
Great guy. Yes. Fred Carter's a wonderful guy. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Great. He's like a basketball encyclopedia besides. I mean, as a matter of fact, they called Kevin Lockery Murph. I mean, all Kevin Lockery wanted after, hey, Fred, give me two beers. Hey. They didn't say it like that.
Hey, Fred.
Anyway, my two favorite words in show business.
Uh-huh.
Lauren Holm has joined us. Hello, Lawrence.
Hello, Uncle Terry. Hello, Dan.
Hi, bud.
You know what's I have a beef. I've got a beef.
You have a beef and I have a donut for you. I almost forgot. I brought you a chocolate cake donut from Munster Donuts.
I appreciate
that. Yeah, I know that's your flavor.
Scratch your nose first, though. That Fred's gotta scratch his nose. And then you say
That's how it worked?
There's so much
hand
stuff.
Signals.
There's I do like this. then you ask me about my beef.
He knows.
I always people be like, hey, you know, I didn't see you in Terry's book. I was like, no, I'm in the book. I'm just not named in the book.
That's true.
Really? You forgot Lawrence.
No.
It didn't no.
Terry didn't want to
I love Lawrence.
Terry didn't want to get me fired.
Right.
But I'm in the book.
He's in the book.
Okay. I read the book last fall.
Hey. I read the book last
fall. You're talking in code. I might as well look at Murph right now touching his nose to try and figure this out. No more code.
If you've read the book, like there's a portion where Terry tells a story about two producers and doesn't want to name
what they had planned.
What we had planned.
Okay.
Somebody aforementioned.
Got it.
Yeah, no, I don't know those producers anymore. I don't know them. But
neither one of them are producers anymore.
No, that's correct. Neither one of them are producing, so I don't know. But that is a absolute true story, and I certainly wouldn't mean to slight Lawrence. Anyway, I love Lawrence. Yeah. One of my favorite people on earth.
You got everybody. You covered everybody in the book.
It's a really
everybody
good book.
Got thanked. You didn't miss anybody.
Do you know that why I was on?
I'm not insulting you. You're looking at me like I'm criticizing you.
I didn't know.
I was on a plane ride to Vegas, and someone was reading the book, like, sitting behind me. And I was just like, they're going to have a great plane ride. Like, it's a perfect book, like,
got
on a plane.
Pick up a book and read it.
So here's my beef. My beef is that Terry has to put a garbage can in the door to get back in here from the bathroom.
Yeah, he doesn't have a key.
I feel like if your name's in the hallway,
right?
Tell that girl downstairs that
permanent key card, right?
Key card emeritus, right?
His
name is literally
not
on the wall.
It's honorary Terry Borsway, and you're putting garbage cans. The whole door is open. That is not right.
Well, I don't think I qualify anymore. I thought my pass worked because it was flashing green, and then I tried it today, and it didn't. And, of course, I was looking for Shep, and I thought, well, Shep might not answer that text. But then I knew you were out roaming around.
Yes,
and sure enough, like within a minute and a half, there you were.
Wow.
So I was safe because Mitch wasn't here today. But Mitch and I will see Mitch tomorrow. It's a power lunch.
Ooh, a power lunch?
No, it's not.
Time now for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is sauce. Text sauce to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is sauce. 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Lawrence, I wasn't expecting to enjoy the hell out of Home Run Derby last night, but man, it was entertaining. And I heard John Feinstein, I think, had a Sports Minute today where he said, people should have been given the futures game in prime time. No, they don't. People want to see stars. And the stars were on display and bringing it last night.
It's almost as if they scripted it. You had, one guy lose in his last swing, and a couple of guys win in their last swing.
Yep.
And Bryce Harper win the whole thing with his dad.
After looking done.
Doing the best, the hair thing. The stuff, your beard is, there it is.
Thank
your God. Beard is just for men on Bryce Harper's dad's beard that was going on there. Go ahead. There it is. And then you have Harper winning it in some controversial fashion because it seems like they didn't follow the rules, but I kind of don't care. It was entertaining, and it's supposed to be an exhibition. I like that there was a lot of flair. I'd like that he used the American flag bat, all of that stuff. I was watching it while, doing the show, but it was easy to watch along with no sound and enjoy.
Yep. You don't need any.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was way more entertaining than I ever would have expected. And I'm looking forward to tonight's game. And the only, I don't really care who wins either, but we had a show investment on Kyle Schwarber. We had 50, and I'd forgotten all about it until he gets to the semifinals.
What was he, 3-1?
He was 6-1.
Oh,
so
my.
We were looking at a nice little take on that. But it's only 50
bucks. Wait,
you
ran you down late,
bucks.
Too. That's a nose victory.
Yeah,
that's a,
oh. I know.
But do you have 9 home runs times. In a minute?
Yeah,
Bryce Harper.
I think it was even less than a minute.
47 seconds.
40 some seconds.
That's
right.
Really a tough loss.
Why'd you play the 106, Mr. Coffee, when I asked for the 103?
I don't get a card.
Nosed at the wire. Oh, God, you hate that.
What you got coming up tonight, Lawrence Holmes?
Well, Guess We continues, and tonight we are jam-packed. Taylor Rooks, who used to work for Big Ten Network, and now she's like a huge star for SNY, is she's in town, and she's going to be here. The niece of Lou Brock, strangely enough. So she'll be here. We're going to talk with her about a whole bunch of stuff. Alicia Roman from NBC5 is going to be on the show. Dee and Davis are two guys who do an incredible podcast that I really enjoy. They're going to come hang out with me in the 7 o'clock hour. Vincent Goodwill will be on the air blaspheming about the 90s Bulls. I'm sure that he's got, because he's a big Detroit guy, Pistons guy.
He also hates Scottie Pippen.
Pistons. Yeah, so we're going to, because that's my favorite player, so I'm sure we're going to do some stuff on that. And then
relay my hatred of those Pistons to him, would you tell him? Oh, the love of God.
Terry, I had a conversation about this on the air last week. I still hate them.
I still hate them.
Like,
yes,
it's one of those things that from my pre-working life that a grudge that I've still held on to all this time. Absolutely. Like, I remember being a teenager and the Bulls like being like my world, and I remember they were just vile. Like, yes. I just hated them, and I still hate them.
Not just the Bulls, they were vile to everybody. But yes. They were absolutely vile.
So I'm sure that me and Vinny are going to yell at each other for an hour about that, which I think could end up being some fun radio. And then Julie DeCaro and Maggie Hendricks are going to hang out with me for the final hour of the show. So we have a jam-packed show. Every
Let's get out of here,
studio. It's going to be great. And if you haven't listened to the hour that I did with Sierra Santos last night.
Good stuff.
Oh, my God. Was it incredible. So hopefully we'll get some more incredible stuff tonight.
Very cool. Terry.
I'm sure you will.
Loved it. See you again tomorrow, brother.
I will be here tomorrow at your cervix, Scipio.
Thanking our guest today, Cubs center fielder Albert Almora, Judd Surratt, the voice of the Boston Bruins, Dan Pompey, football writer par excellence from The Athletic. Ron Coomer checked in. We're back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Many thanks for letting us take you home on this Tuesday night. Nick Shepkowski is the executive producer of the McNeil and Parkin Show. Thank you, Chris Tannehill, for a job well done. And Mitch Rosen, thank you. Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Looking forward to a big, big show in the Performance Studio down the hall. Lawrence Holmes is next for Terry Bors. I'm Matt. Good night.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.